gentlemen, we roll right into it. Right into it. Thanks for listening to Drive Through HR. It is a wonderful day. We're on the other side of the week. We're edging ever so closely to the weekend, and you know, all I care about at this stage in my life is that you have good weather over the weekend. That's what I really care about. I'm gonna put it out there. Good weather over the weekends. That's what I care about. We have a wonderful guest on, a person that I've known for a number of years now, so I can't wait to kind of get to Dawn and kind of hear what's going on in her world. So, Dawn, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, this will be fun. Nisha, we have Nisha back from India, which is always I don't know how I did it for the last couple of weeks without her. So very happy that she's back.
Well, thank you. So, thank you for managing William and excited to be on the show today.
I don't know if I would manage. I think I just kind of got through it as best I could. But let's do this. Introduce yourself to the audience before we jump right into the question du jour. Give us your pertinence. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I have a BA degree in psychology and lots of interest in it, so I've been following it for many years. I've worked as an HR professional for lots and lots of years also. Hands-on, you know, marketing has been something that I've been doing in the last maybe 7-8 years working for HR marketer, and I want to shout out to Mark Williman, who's the founder of HR Marketer Fisher Vista. It's a PR marketing service that works in the HR benefits marketplace. So thanks, Mark.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a little bit about me.
I've known Mark for a very long time, and just a good guy and advocate for the space. What's top of mind for you these days? What's keeping you up at night?
I tell you, I'm worried about HR professionals myself. It's been a bit of a roller coaster for them. And, you know, in the context of the economy and some of the changes that's been going on in the world lately, that's just one part of it. There's also lots of stuff that's been going on just in terms of what their role is in their, you know, in their companies. And so, for example, some of the changes that they could be expecting in the future, having to do with analytics, big data, data mining, social media and such as that, and branding, as well as transparency in the corporate workplace. I think these things are going to cause lots of problems for HR people in the future. Don't you?
That's a great start, Dawn, right there. Well, we know you started your career as an HR professional and then turned into a marketing professional right now. So tell us a little bit about the journey throughout. What are some of the lessons that you thought marketing professionals could utilize from the HR professionals?
Well, that's something that I actually would love to talk about a bit. But first I wanted to, before I got into that, that's a little bit down the road, I wanted to mention that some of the stresses could potentially lead to some real issues for HR people and something they need to keep in mind in terms of keeping themselves healthy. So first off, I guess if you want to talk about marketing first, it seems like marketing and HR should really be working together right now. You know, they should be working together and doing branding for internal, both for clients and for their employees. I'm a little bit worried that if they don't understand marketing principles and some of the data analytics that marketing people are using now in terms of getting, you know, just information about different segments of people and trying to learn about how to use data generally in terms of hiring, in terms of promotions, and in terms of using data to make decisions in general. That's not something that HR is going to come easily to. they're already having troubles, because basically HR people did not go into that field because of their math backgrounds, you know? And they just don't understand a little bit about how to use that stuff yet. I think it's a bit challenging.
That is true. So how do we actually go about and fix that issue when it comes to HR using more of data and things like marketing professionals?
I think it's part of it needs to be a collaboration. I know I think HR needs to understand that their role is not just a single role within the company, and that if they can get, you know, to work together with, in particular with marketing, they would find a lot of support in moving into that direction. But I think there's so many challenges that they're facing right now in terms of, you know, just a lot of stress in general. It's very interesting to know, I think, the changes that are coming in the future could also cause stress for HR people, other than just understanding marketing and understanding use of data. There's also transparency within the organization, which is another level of stress. Because of social media and because of, say, you know, every employee has an opportunity to blog about anything that goes on in the company that they don't like, let's just say. For example, there's been some hacking at Sony. We all know that, right? Sony's a big topic of discussion right now. And what's happened is there's been a couple employees have blogged about what's been going on and how they're worried about their identities being hacked and so forth. And there's this issue is potentially huge. What if, you know, an employee can just blog about anything anonymously and they have credibility, they will have credibility, and it will could possibly go viral like this one blog. So what HR needs to do, in addition to understanding mathematics and statistics, also have an understanding of social media and its impact on the way they do business.
That is absolutely right. So on the other hand, while you were talking about every employee has a voice, while, you know, when we talk about marketing and HR, marketing is all about storytelling, influence, and differentiation, right? And when it comes to employees, they will be more engaged when they feel an attachment towards their employer brand. And that can happen only through storytelling. So what do you think are some of the, you know, collaborative aspects that marketing and HR should do when it comes to engaging employees?
That is an excellent question. What should they do to engage their employees to get them to embrace their brands internally?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that it's all about being authentic. I think there's a level of transparency. So, for example, you know, these are just words, but if you could get the upper level, like the CEOs and the, you know, all of those folks, to tell their own stories about what brings them to where they are and what is happening within the company by explaining from a personal level and opening themselves up. I mean, I think the challenge is right there, because I believe that most executives want to just, you know, hide the bodies. That's their first impulse when things go wrong. And instead of doing something like that, which can go into just a PR nightmare, people need to kind of approach it from the perspective of transparency and authenticity. And that is a huge challenge. That is not the direction that most HR people tend to go. I mean, we're trained from day one to keep secrets, that this should never get out, that we can't talk about it. And that approach will not help. That approach will not help at all. So I think, you know, trying to keep in mind that opening up to a certain extent is all about what storytelling is. So trying to get your story out there in a way that, you know, makes it sympathetic can be a real challenge, but I think that's the challenge that HR can lead towards if they have the courage to do so. But I'm getting a little bit off topic because
I just want
to add that that can be really stressful too. I mean, that's my point, is that issue right there, HR does not want to open up the door and be transparent, I don't think, to a certain extent. So that's my idea.
Yeah, I think here's my take on that. I think you're right. I think that these stressors come from a lot of different angles. The stressor of big data and that they should be doing everything that's more analytics or at least based in analytics. I think the stressor of being transparent, of holding the secrets, and there are always going to be secrets in HR. And no one's going to ever be 100% transparent. It's really dealing with the degrees to which one is transparent. I'm normally very cynical. I'm not as cynical about this particular piece because I see great strides. I see Glassdoor and LinkedIn is kind of leading the way of kind of helping companies tell some more of their side of the story. So I think if we were to look back at Glassdoor or even any of those types of sites like that, it's really, back then it was a repository for the negative. You know, it was really the disgruntled kind of occupied a lot of that. Now I see more companies getting in there and offering up some of the other parts of the story. And the disgruntled, like, that's a part of the story. And, I see people owning that more today than I did 3 years ago or 5 years ago or 7 years ago. So I'm actually optimistic that HR is if their company will allow them to tell other parts of the story, then I think that they're more willing today than ever to get in there and mix it up and, again, kind of round out the story. Like, I don't think you ever kind of whitewash the story. I think really you're just going to say, well, yeah, we have had some problems, and we did go through growth issues, and we did change CEO 3 times, in 6 years. Those are truths. That did happen.
Yeah.
And here's some of the other aspects of the story. Like, I see that happening more than not. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I agree. I think it's already happening, and I think it's a good thing. I'm excited about it.
That to your point, the meta point though about stress, it is creating stress. So I mean, like, let's not just blow past that. There are stressors in HR. Like, if I talk to a 20-year-old that's thinking about a career in HR, I automatically hit them with technology, science, and math, STEM. Basically, I hit them with STEM and say, how are you here? Because if you're not good here, get out of HR. Just get out.
It's true.
Because it won't work out for you. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to also, I don't know if you happen to read or listen to the podcast on Deloitte's Human Capital Trends survey. They brought up something very interesting. They're giving most of the employees that they, or the HR people that they surveyed, they gave themselves a C- in their ability to deal with some of the topics that we're discussing right now. C-. These are the people that are responding, which are already selected for people who care. So another issue that they brought up that's a stressor is what they're calling the overwhelmed employee, which is, you know, having to do with the fallout from being hyper-connected 24/7, you know, online.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these things that you're talking about means that it's, you know, the responsibility of the HR person 24/7 to respond to any and everything that might happen. And that is a stressor right there. And it is one of the top stressors in the top 10. I would not have really expected that, but it's got to be true. I'm sure it's true.
Yeah. How do you think people deal with stress these days? You know, they used to kind of tell you, you know, hobbies and physical activity and walking and racquetball and, like, go and release the valve, so to speak. Is that still true? Or, like, what's your take on how people manage their anxieties or stressors these days as opposed to, you know, 20 years ago?
I think that actually wellness has become a hot topic, and it is a huge issue, and has changed a lot. Yoga's become and meditation has become much more acceptable. I know I do personally do yoga frequently and meditate too, and I think it really helps. I think there's a way that you can, there's a couple tips. Don't be a people pleaser. Don't be afraid to say no. Let go of what you can't control. You know, avoid negativity and drama, which can be hard for HR people. And then just love yourself and be kind to yourself, which can be hard as well. People judge themselves. There's this internal voices that people cannot turn off sometimes. They judge themselves.
Yeah. You know, Dawn, I think you're onto something there, because I think that this is very California. You know, like yoga in California, you know, 30 years ago, that was kind of a, you know. But I think yoga and spirituality and kind of, those are kind of becoming more mainstream. I mean, I know more women these days that do Pilates and yoga than do other forms of exercise, which it wasn't in Texas, again, not California. That's new. That is absolutely new. So I think that we're kind of catching up to California. California gets a lot of the bad rap sometimes of the bleeding edge and, you know, some of the other stuff. But I think y'all are leading in this regard as it relates to wellness, because I think things that y'all have been doing for the last decade or so are things that now are happening in Topeka or are happening in Chicago or happening elsewhere in the United States. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You're so close to it, you might not see that.
That's interesting. Oh, I know. I believe it. My cutting-edge thing that I do is basically movement, dance, as a meditation. And you don't even want to know about that if you still think yoga is cutting-edge.
Yeah. Well, I was on a board of a contemporary dance company for a couple of years, so I'm
really?
Comfortable. I'm comfortable in that regard. But God, it was great. It was great. I'd go to a show, and we'd be talking at the board level. We'd be talking about it for weeks. But you know, I'd go to a show, and I would always leave the show going, "That was nothing like what I expected." In a good way, in a great way, actually. It's just, I was always shocked. Every time I left a show, I was like, huh, okay, well, there you go.
That's funny. I've even done laughter yoga, which is a whole other thing. So, you know, there's lots of ways that people can learn to release their stress. And I think if they don't, you know, there can be depression. It can lead to serious mental health issues. And that kind of thing is only exacerbated by all the different stresses that HR is going through right now. You know, I feel I'm not actively in HR, although I kind of, you know, I've kind of put my toe back in the pond or the pool for, you know, thinking about it a little bit once in a while. But it's tough, man. I don't know if you saw the movie. I think it's called Up in the Air with George Clooney. I know that's an old movie, but there were layoffs after layoffs after layoffs. And I know I'm not the only person that did that. And there's nothing worse than laying off people who are your friends that you work with and going through that year after year. I mean, for me, I laid off people. I mean, I was the layoff queen for a while, and it's not easy. And, you know, I know that's past history and, you know, it's not really happening as much anymore, but that history happened, and these are the same people that are still in those positions. And you don't just let go of that and forget it, you know. All of that happens. So, I don't know. I'm just worried. That's the thing, is I'm actually just worried. I just think that people need to be aware of their own warning signs and what's going on in their own mental health and seek help if they need it, not be afraid to do that. And I still think there's a tendency to, you know, just kind of say, oh, I'm fine, nothing's wrong, and something can be wrong. So, and it does bleed over into their personal life. It can cause problems, you know.
Absolutely. That is true. And
right?
as we were talking about the layoff situations and the stresses that HR normally goes through, You know, these are the situations where how whatever manner that we do, that ambiguity would be there among the employees, and that ambiguity would be there inside HR too. How do we deliver that message, and how would employees accept that message, all these tensions that is there in their mind? So what do you recommend to our HR professionals to kind of, you know, communicate in a manner that employees know what's going to happen? Because you said in the beginning that transparency aspect, right? However we want it to be transparent, there is a fine line between delivering the message in a manner that employees are going to accept it. So
are you talking about an actual exit interview, or are you talking about like the kind of communication that you give in general to groups of employees when you explain what's going on with the layoffs? Which are you talking
about? In general, before they even know that they are going to be laid off, but they are in the list, these are sensitive information that we want it to be communicated, right?
Yeah. Wow. Okay, that is a tough question. It really depends on the situation, because I think as soon as you let people know that they're going to be coming into the office, they already know they're being laid off. So there's that issue. It's already happened in their head. So they don't hear anything that you say then. Seriously, all they hear,
that's true.
I mean, it's just like their head is bursting with, like, oh, my God, what am I going to do now? And that's all they can think of. That's why you write everything down and give it to them and ask them to call you back. Because theoretically, the best thing they could do is just listen, absorb, try to ask any questions they can come up with, but get them to come back and ask you later. They will, too, because no one really understands COBRA the first time you tell them. Especially not in an exit interview. They like, okay, yeah, all right.
And they don't have that mood to listen to.
No, they can't. All they can think of is, oh, my God, how am I going to pay my rent, you know?
Correct.
So that... You really need to have an engaged person to have an actual conversation that's going to make an impact. So, I don't know. I've done outplacement, too. That's a little bit different. But, you know, trying to reassess people's skill levels in ways that are going to make them viable for other kinds of employment is a real challenge. And people get stuck. They don't understand the skills that they have. They can't translate them into what a new job is, and they really – anyway, I'm getting off topic, but that's another issue too.
No, that's okay. That's totally all right. So 2015, a new year, a lot of goals and a lot of achievements that is down the road. So what should HR be – you know, what should HR stop or start doing in 2015?
I think that HR needs to really – become experts on statistical analysis. Just take a class on statistical analysis. Like, understand what it means and try. You know, I know that software is going to come that's going to make that super easy, just analyzing things. But I will tell you what I think is going to happen. And this is just completely off the top of my head. It's just something I've been thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
But I really believe that something like a Facebook software is going to be put inside companies as a way to communicate. Not Facebook itself, but just a software that people can communicate with and be sort of social, but be like project oriented. And it's going to have the capacity to do cloud computing, to see what is the trending topics in the company and things like that. And I believe that, no, I know this sounds odd, but I think that it's going to be used for data mining to see who's going to be the next person to take on different projects. That's my thought. I was thinking, okay, like, what does data mining mean, and what does it mean to look at cloud computing within a company? What is all that? How does that work, and how does that apply to HR? That, to me, is really fascinating for 2015. How is that going to work? Because I see that's going to happen, and I don't know who's doing it, but I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, it's like there's a whole – we've been sitting on a ton of data for a long time, and hell, just payroll data alone, time and attendance data alone. We've been sitting on a ton of data, and to actually have that data tell us some things that we didn't know, it is kind of a golden age of we're just at the very – I believe – we're just at the very beginnings of this, and as we look 10 years out, it's the data is going to tell us all kinds of stuff. You know, Tuesday is your best hiring day. You know, during this part of the month, these are the people you should be talking to. Performance review should look like this, and so the data is it's not going to replace human beings. I don't ever believe that there's a human resources without human beings, but it's let's try making business decisions based on data. Let's try that for a while.
Yeah.
Let's see how that goes. Surely that can't be a problem.
You know what? No, it can be. But the thing is HR people really are afraid of it. That's my thought. Just my gut feeling is that they feel they're going to be outsourced or they feel that their value as, you know, one of the things that you really grab onto when you're an HR professional is that I know people, you know. I am the expert here, and I can tell you things about your employees, and I am that expert. You know, taking that piece of that puzzle, and you know, it's just a tool. It's not like it's going to replace that ability, but I think that HR people, because they're not math oriented. I mean, if they were math oriented, they would have been accountants. You know, that pays better anyway. They would have gone into finance. They're not. You know, they are just not oriented in that direction, and so they're a little bit afraid of it, and they also, you know, just it's a challenge all around, you know, and it changes the whole game, I think, in some ways.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah, I've seen this wave a couple times. Marketers went through this transition, Dawn, in the last 20 years. Marketers were not math-oriented. They were not any of those people. And now you can't have a decent conversation with them with a marketer that's not out in an Excel spreadsheet. It's very difficult to find a marketer that can talk about art. So it's just it's a transition. It's just like a transition that went on in marketing. It'll go on HR. Some will make it and some won't. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, that's just kind of the evolution of life. Some folks, you know, not all salmon make it up the river. Some salmon do, some don't. That's going to happen in HR. Some are going to want to. That's one of the things that the other side of this is that, yes, it's just like social media a decade ago created a great stressor on HR. There were those that kind of wrestled with it and those that hid from it. And now you look around and, you know, you don't talk. At the conferences, you're not. It's like, no, you should get into social media. There's less of that these days.
Yeah.
And that's what will happen when we talk about big data and analytics, is that over the course of 10 years or so, it'll just be less, you know, like people will kind of get it. And I think technology companies have a great, you know, they have a great opportunity to make data accessible, make math accessible, make analytics accessible. So I don't want to be overtly optimistic. I think it's going to be hard and painful. But if marketing can go through it, HR can go through it.
Oh, absolutely. I'm a good example. I have a background in statistical analysis, too, obviously, and I'm not at all afraid of data. I think it's awesome. I think it's an amazing tool, and it should be used. There's a lot you can do with it that we aren't doing.
Yeah.
So it should be really exciting to see the changes.
Yeah. Well, Dawn, I told you it was going to blow by really fast, and 30 minutes are gone. That's it. We have no more time. I told you it would happen, and thus it did. I want to thank Nisha for coming back from India and being on the show today. Glad to have you back. Dawn, as always, thank you very much for being on the show. And thanks to everybody listening to Drive Through HR and letting us invade your ear hole. So everyone have a wonderful day today and hopefully a wonderful weekend. And we're going to roll out level for round.
It might seem crazy what I'm saying.
Thanks,
I don't know.